I was reading the other day about an event that took place during the Super Bowl when FedEx ran a commercial that poked fun at the movie Castaway, in which Tom Hanks played a FedEx worker whose company plane went down, stranding him on an island, a desert island for years. And in the commercial, the FedEx employee goes up to, after a while, he goes after he's rescued, he goes up to the door of a suburban home with a package in his hand. And when the lady comes to the door, he explains that he survived 5 years on the island, this deserted island. And during the whole time, he kept this package so that one day he thought he would be able to deliver it. She gives a simple thank you and was about to close the door. But he is curious about what's in the package that he had been protecting for years. And so he asked her, if you don't mind, what was in this package after all? She opens it and shows him the content, saying, oh, nothing really, just a satellite telephone, a global positioning device, a compass, a water purifier, and some seeds. You know, friends, like the contents of this package, the resources for Christian growth, the resources for Christian well-being and strength are available to every Christian who will take advantage of them. Do you agree with that? The soul of a man longs for fulfillment. Many try to fill this longing with having bigger and better stuff that the world has to offer. But the truth is, friends, that we will not be satisfied, listen, until we come into intimacy with the living God. And God is calling you and I, friends, to that place of intimacy with him. As I said last week, Catherine Kuhlman used to always say, there is more, so much more. Also, that we are called into to dwell in the place, in the secret place of the Most High, to gaze upon his beauty, to nestle into his heart. For our heart's home is in the midst of his heart. And this is what we call the place of intimacy, friends. Jesus, when praying to God in John 17:3, says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Paul said later in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 and 9 and 10, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The New International Version says, even God's deep secrets. Friends, eyes and ears and our minds can't contain all that God is. It is like trying to measure the volume of the Pacific Ocean with a teacup. In the natural, our senses, our hearing and sight and smell and taste and touch cannot comprehend God and his fullness. And yet in the Spirit, We are given eyes to see the invisible, ears to hear the inaudible, and minds to conceive the inconceivable. In the spirit, friends, that's the difference. When we look with our hearts, a friend of mine used to always say, Lord, give me spiritual eyes. When we look with our hearts, that's our spirits. God becomes visible and he begins to reveal himself to those who will seek him. God sees us as a precious treasure and he longs to have a close relationship with us. More than anything, he wants to have an intimate love relationship and friendship with him. He wants us to spend time with him, to communicate with him, to enjoy fellowship with him, to trust and fellowship with him, and to give our life meaning and purpose. Instead, and I find this in lots of places, so much of our time with the Lord nowadays is geared to the soul, to the soul. We want music that stirs the soul. We want preaching that inspires the soul. We want reading that challenges the soul. But the Lord says to us today, and it's been mentioned two or three times already, John 4, verse 24, those who worship me must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Our souls are being called into obedience in our spirit, to our spirit, by the calling of the Holy Spirit, and the church is called into glory. No time we're playing church. No time we're going through a whole bunch of rituals which mean absolutely nothing. God is calling us to intimacy, to know him, whom to know is life eternal. Oswald Chambers says, it is a joy to Jesus when a person takes time to walk more intimately with him. The bearing of fruit is always shown in Scripture to be a visible result of an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I like what Paul said to the Philippians, Philippians 3, verse 8. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Friends, Christianity is not a religion. You say, what? Yes, it's not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. It's a relationship with the living God who desires an intimate relationship with us. Talking about relationships, I must admit that they can be confusing. A Campus Life magazine, March 1981, wrote an article. I'll read it for you. If you think your family has problems, consider the marriage mayhem created by 76-year-old Beau Baker of London, who recently married Edna Harvey. She happened to be his granddaughter's husband's mother. And that's where the confusion began. According to Burl Baker's granddaughter, Lynn. Lynn said, my mother-in-law is now my step-grandmother. My grandfather is now my step-father-in-law. My mother is my sister-in-law, and my brother is my nephew. But even crazier than that, I am now married to my uncle, and my own children are my cousins. And from this experience, the article said, Lynn should gain profound insight into the theory of relativity. As I said earlier, friends, God is calling us now into intimacy. But what is intimacy? Let me give you an example. It is what determines the difference between courting and marriage. Courting a girlfriend is different to marrying your wife. In courting, the girlfriend does up her hair, uses perfume, etc., when the boyfriend visits. The boyfriend uses aftershave lotion even though he doesn't shave. His clothes are ironed, his shoes are polished, etc. Then in marriage, there's difference. Now, there is a strong relationship, there is intimacy, where you get to know your spouse really well. So even if the husband wakes up next to his wife and finds that her hair looks like an explosion in a mattress factory, and the wife sees the husband come home from work, his clothes are dirty and he smells like a horse. Because there is love and intimacy between them, the wife is still the most beautiful person in the world. And the husband is still better looking than Brad Pitt and George Clooney. Got the difference now? I once read that intimacy could best be described as in to me see. Intimacy is God allowing God to look into our hearts, and God allowing us to look into his heart. In intimacy, we become one with the Spirit of God, and now our desires match that of our Creator. The call of the Spirit of God is this, friends. The call of the Spirit of God is this: know me. Know me. Daniel 11:32. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Hosea 6:3. Oh, that we might know the Lord! Exclamation mark. Let us press on to know him. Then he will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming of rains in early spring. Exodus 33:13. Moses prayed, teach me your ways so that I may know you. He doesn't say so that I may know about you. He says that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Isaiah 43:10, the Lord says, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Last week I was preaching about going deeper in your relationship with God. Because when you go deeper in your relationship with God, that's the place of intimacy. We need to know the Lord. The Hebrew word yada is used in the Old Testament and is translated into English as the word know or knowledge. But it has a much wider meaning than our English word know. The Old Testament word for knowing God means to perceive, to learn, to understand, to recognize, to believe, to accept his claim, to conform, to be willing, to live, to obey, and so on. Do you understand how wide it is now, friends? That's how we know God. these words all hold important keys to getting to know God the way he wants us to know him. Friends, the opposite of knowing God intimately is not ignorance or a lack of knowledge. It is called rebellion. The Greek word, ginosko, is used in the New Testament. It has the same meaning as the Hebrew word yada, but in the context in which it is used in the New Testament, it also has the following additional meaning. To know God in the New Testament is to believe and accept Jesus. It is to know truth. It is to respond in faith. I would hope, friends, that each one of us, irrespective of how many years we've been serving God, that we will have a desire in our hearts to reach the place of in our spiritual lives where you can have a deep kind of relationship with God that could only be termed as intimate. The good news is that if you want to be in that place, listen to the good news. You are halfway there. Why? Because God has taken the first step. God has initiated. You are halfway there. Friends, let us earnestly seek a deeper relationship with our Heavenly Father. We cannot afford to live our Christian life religiously instead of relationally. Religion can be very different than having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Religions are man-made. I said this last week. They are based on trying to get to God through adhering and yielding to a list of man-made rules and regulations and good works. Man-made religions are based on people's efforts at reaching God and being made right with him through their own efforts. Somebody said, you know, Keith, I got my church, but do you have Jesus? See the difference now? And he said, Keith, I'm trying. I say, stop trying and believe. Trust. Serve God. Don't try to serve God because that's your excuse when you're not serving him. Well, I was trying. Come on now. God wants us to be in that place of intimacy. God's plan for man's salvation and for being right with him is told throughout the Bible. God's plan is not based on people's efforts and good works. God's plan is based on his amazing love and his amazing grace for us. His plan involved his precious son paying the price and the cost for our sins on the cross. So let me paraphrase all that. Man's way to reach God is religion. God's way to reach man is a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. What the difference? Amen. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. James, John 4, verse 16, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Friends, God wants more than a casual relationship with us. You should thirst for God. You should have a craving for a vibrant, growing, intimate relationship with God. Intimacy brings us to the place where God desires where his desires become our desires. Because at that place, we cannot bear to be separated from his presence. To grow to a place where we live in the shelter of his wings and behold his beauty moment by moment. At that place, we see him in the smile of a child, the outstretched arms of a brother or sister, and in the laughter of a friend. But he has a gentle warning, friends. Listen, I want to say this. Yeah, is a gentle warning to all of us that if we do not yearn for an intimate relationship with God, God's going to allow the next generation who will. I have read that there is now in the world reports coming of youths of different nations, the youth of nations have a level of intimacy with God. There's a hunger among young people. I read that in India and the United States and New Zealand and many other countries in the world, it is reported that people between the age of 12 and 25 are earnestly seeking God. They pack out prayer meetings. Tears flow down their cheeks as they are touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. I've read that children are laying hands on sick and people are getting healed. You see, that yearning they have, God comes through for them because they are in that place of intimacy. There is nothing more relevant for a young or old than an encounter with the living God. I want to encourage you, and I thank God for our church. They're so faithful. I want to thank God for you, but I want to encourage you. The summer of 2022, that you said, Lord, I'm going deeper in my relationship with you. This is what we want, friends. We must see the vital need to humble ourselves before God, and to fervently pray and hungrily seek his face and turn wholeheartedly to him. We need to learn from the early Christians in the book of Acts, the church, the early church. We can read about it in Acts 1:14, Acts 2:42, in Acts 4, verse 14, 23, in Acts 6, verse 4. What the early church knew, what did they know? They gave themselves wholeheartedly to prayer and fellowship. Wholeheartedly to prayer and fellowship. They knew that there was a direct connection between prayer and submission and God's Holy Spirit filling and empowering them. And the more they prayed, the more they prayed, friends, the more God did in and through them. They prayed, do you know, I read in the Bible, they prayed for 10 days straight. And then Peter stood up and preached for 10 minutes and 3,000 got saved. Was the sermon so awesome? No, that was God's concert to pray. They prayed for 10 days straight. Peter preached for 10 minutes. 3,000 got saved. I like what Jim Cimbala, I like to watch him. He's such a great guy. Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. You know Jim Cimbala, or Cimbala, some people call him. He said this, the truth is, I have seen God do more through 10 minutes of real prayer than through 10 of my sermons. Isn't that something? David said, Psalm 27:4. One thing I ask of the Lord, that is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house, that's the presence of the Lord, all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, the sons of Korah said, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Psalm 63, verse 1, 2, and 3, David prayed, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Your love is better than life." Is that somebody who's casual, guys? No, this is someone who is in an intimate relationship with God. Saint Augustine. That's how the British, and that's how we learn to pronounce it. The Americans say Augustine. Anyway, it's wrong. Doesn't matter. Now I'm joking. Saint Augustine said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in thee." Isn't that lovely, friends? God goes far and beyond the norm to initiate this intimate connection with us. Just check it out for yourself. God always makes the first move. When Adam and Eve sinned, it was God who pursued them after them. Why? To restore the lost relationship. Genesis 3, verse 8 and 9. God came to Noah, Genesis 6, 11 to 13. God came to Abraham, Genesis 12, 1 to 3. God came to each of the prophets, Samuel 1, or 1 Samuel 3, verse 11, 1 to 11. God came to earth through his son, Emmanuel, God with us, Matthew 1, 23. God came to through his son, Jesus, to the two men on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24, 13 to 27. Through Jesus, God came to Saul on the road to Damascus, Acts 9, verse 1 to 6. Do you see that God always makes the first move? Even in your life. Even in your life. Let me tell, it's not on the screen, but listen. John 6, verse 44. Jesus said, "No man, or no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." You see that? God has to draw you. Our loving Father has always been the initiator. Just as he came to sinful people through the person of his son Jesus to redeem us, he now comes to the saved people in the person of the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to fill us with intimacy. We can have this relationship with God the Father. We can have the connection with God if we will simply do our part, which is to foster such intimacy. Do you agree with me when I say, there is nothing worse than a one-sided relationship? Isn't that true? To have a one-sided relationship, you are in a pathetic relationship. There's nothing worse than a one-sided relationship. Tenor Luciano Pavarotti. I used to like this fellow singing. Luciano Pavarotti. Sing tenor. He said this: "When I was a boy, my father, a baker, introduced me to the wonders of song. He urged me to work very hard to develop my voice. Arrigo Pola, a professional tenor in my hometown of Modena, Italy, took me as a pupil. I also enrolled in a teacher's college, and on graduating, I asked my father, 'Shall I be a teacher or a singer?' Luciano, my father replied, 'If you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair. I chose one, Luciano said. I took 7 years of study and frustration before I made my first professional appearance. It took another 7 to reach the Metropolitan Opera. And now I think whether it's lane breaks or writing a book or whatever you choose, we should give ourselves to it. Commitment, that's the key. Choose one chair. Friends, we are constantly faced with two chairs, as it were, God and Satan. Don't compromise by trying to sit on both chairs. Listen, I say that very humbly. Think about what you do. Don't try and compromise now to sit on both chairs. You will fall through. You will fall between them. Choose one. Choose God. Consciously decide to pursue an intimate relationship with Him. It doesn't happen automatically. Building intimacy with God. That's the title of my sermon. Is a lifelong process. It is ongoing. It will not happen if all you do is, or we do is come to church now and again, say grace. Oh, I must remember to say grace. Flip through a devotional. That doesn't build intimacy. I have learned that if I want to get to know God, I need to spend time with God alone in loving relationship. Intimacy will not come when I'm flipping through the channels. Intimacy will not come when I'm surfing the internet. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 46:10. God said this, be still and know that I am God. You come into a place of intimacy with Him, be still and just know that I'm God. Let God come to you and speak. Isn't it interesting we've given 2 ears and 1 mouth? Some say that this is to show us to do more listening than talking. That is true. It is noted that 2 ears are designed to always stay open, while the 1 mouth is designed to close sometimes. Everybody, oh, yeah. Don't be satisfied with just salvation. Salvation is great. Amen. What a great day when Jesus saved you. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Angels were rejoicing and you were called a child of God. But you know what, friends? There's more. Don't be content with just keeping your relationship with God on a superficial level. Go deeper. Go deeper. Don't let this relational faith become nothing more than a religion. Let your words be the same as it was for Paul in Philippians 3:10. Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. Friends, the harvest that you get from spending time with the Lord is enormous. You get energy to endure suffering. You get patience to wait. You get wisdom to talk. You get grace to walk. When passion for Him seizes you, doubts and fear ceases. Divine calmness settles on you. Every time I spend time with the Lord, I come out pumped, I'm charged, I'm revitalized. I was telling you many years ago, we used to come to the church every Wednesday night for 22 years. We used to come. Wednesday night was, and I used to have, sometimes I was so busy, I used to say to Helen, man, let's eat quickly, man. We've got to go to the church. I'm tired. I want to sleep. I'm fed up. I come to the church. Put on the sound, tune my guitar, get the songs ready, get the PowerPoint ready, and the Bible study ready. Oh, what friends, spending that time with the Lord. I get my second wind, as it were. I get revitalized. I'm full of energy, man. I can dance on the ceiling, man. Because of the presence of God. That intimacy, that place of intimacy. This is what God wants for each one of us. Every day. As it states in Psalm 16, verse 11, I quoted this early. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I want to conclude, and let's read Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When we trust him and him alone to be the perfect one in this relationship, he will take us deeper. There's no mountain that he can't move. There's no situation that he can't overcome. There's no one he will refuse if we will believe. But that he is and is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Friends, God's desire, and say one more time, is for us to have an intimate relationship with him. Let's enter into that relationship with him. I know you want to. Find intimacy with God today. Amen. This power of heads in prayer. Lord, we need a radical encounter with you. We need to decrease so that you will increase in our lives. We need you to come in and break through all the religious trappings of needing to work things out. We need you to invade the very core of our lives. We long to move in your wisdom and counsel. We desire to walk mightily in the power of your Spirit so we can dramatically affect those we come into contact with. Teach us how to seek deeper intimacy with you. Help us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.